Hello, and welcome to another episode of Video Store Memoirs. As always, I'm Jana, and with me is my co-host, Kevin, and we're here to talk about movies today.
Hi, people. You
know, yeah, that's what we do. We talk about movies.
Is that what we do?
Uh-huh. Usually.
Okay, just want to make sure. I've got to update my resume.
So today we have another listener suggestion that we watched. So I'm going to hand it over to Kevin, and he's going to talk to you a little bit about the movie that we watched and how we learned about it.
All right. So actually, let's clear the air on one thing here. Everyone here is getting a twofer today. One, we reviewed a movie that was nominated for an Oscar. So that's coincides with this time of year. Two, we are taking a request from Serena again, who last suggested Drinking Buddies for us, which we both absolutely adored. Well, Serena, you are two for two. Today we will be talking about the movie The Big Six.
Sick.
Why did I say The Big Six? I'm stuck on Disney.
Yeah.
The Big Sick from 2017. This movie, first of all, let's go to our friends here, IMDb. Pakistani-born comedian Kimal Nanjiani,
mm-hmm.
Yes, and grad student Emily Gardner fall in love but struggle with their culture clash. When Emily contracts a mysterious illness, Kimal finds himself forced to face her feisty parents, his family's expectations, and his true feelings. Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty succinct.
Yeah. Straight to the point. I did not know what to expect with this movie. First of all, I find out just before we sit down to watch this movie, as I said, was nominated for Best Original Screenplay and was written by both Kimal Nanjiani and his wife, Emily Gordon.
Yeah, I did not realize until we finished the movie that this was actually their story and that they wrote it. I knew he was in it. I knew it was probably loosely based on him because he's a comedian and it was about a comedian, but I didn't realize how close it was, like that it was their story.
Yeah.
Until the end in the credits and they show real pictures of them together. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you watch one of those, you know, like docudramas, and at the end they actually show pictures of the real people who inspired the story, and then all of a sudden it just kicks in and you've seen pictures of him with, like, me and the real Emily. I was like, whoa!
Right, and then pictures of her real parents, his real parents. I was like, oh, wow, okay. Let's talk about the cast for a minute, because there were some surprises in this movie that I did not expect.
Okay.
So her parents, Holly Hunter as her mom, Beth, and Ray Romano as her dad, Terry.
I mean, how do you, your first movie you write and you land these two?
Yeah. Like, amazing. And they were so good in it. I love Holly Hunter. Like, I love her in anything. And
she is so sassy in every role. The only time she's not sassy is, I think, the piano, because she doesn't say a word. It's just all sign language.
Yeah. And then, so his comedian friends are also, like, actual real-life comedians. You got Ada Bryant. You got Bo Burnham. Kurt Braunholler. Yeah. Yeah, so there's some real-life comedians in it that are his friends that he does his shows and sets with, which is really cool to see. And then you've got his whole family in it, the actors and actresses playing his family, his Pakistani family. I don't know these actors well.
I know the one who played the mother. I've seen her in so many things.
But they were all amazing as well. So we have Zenobia Shroff as Shermin. We have Anupam Kher as Azmat. So those were his parents. His brother was played by Adil Akhtar. I'm getting over having lost my voice for a week, so things are not working all that great. And then it was a great cast of not rotating, but kind of rotating female actresses because his mother was trying to get him married off and set up a traditional arranged marriage. And so every night, every week that they had dinner together as a family, it was, oh, look who just randomly stopped by, completely unexpected. But she comes in with her picture, a headshot, and her
resume
on the back of it, like, oh, just happened to be in the neighborhood. So, you know, several different actresses playing these different possible potential love interests that he has no interest in whatsoever.
And I think that was one of the funniest sequences in the movie, where you see it happen once, but then there's this stretch. It's got to be a 2-minute stretch of every time he went to dinner, all the mother would say, oh, who could that be? And gets up, here comes another one. Oh, who could that be?
My favorite one was, so he missed one.
Oh, yeah.
There was one he didn't show up for. It was a family dinner he didn't show up for, and the girl was there. And she actually seemed like quite lovely and was trying very hard to be nice and entertain his parents. And then, so the next time he comes to dinner, this same girl unexpectedly drops by. And then, oh, look, and her mother also.
Mother and father.
Unexpectedly dropped by, happened to be in the neighborhood. Surprise. Like, yes, what a coincidence. They all just happened to randomly be in the area.
Yeah, and in typical fashion, you know how people talk about, the term wasps, like everybody's very subtly judging, but with Pakistani, Indian, Asian area, we've heard so many stories about parents wanting the best for their children, aka, you're going to become this. And it is never more prominent with this mother, like, yes, this fad of comedy, I hope this you'll get out of this fad and actually go for, become a lawyer, become a doctor.
Well, for him specifically, it was lawyer. She was waiting for him to take his LSATs.
Yes, so exactly.
So that he could be placed and go to law school, which he did not want to do. He's a comedian, obviously very funny, good comedian, but his parents weren't very supportive of it at first.
No.
So it was a great story about him and how he interacts with his family and like that pressure of, you brought us to America to have a better life and have other choices and options, yet you still expect us to live like we're still in Pakistan and follow all of these old traditions and rules. It's like, what did you bring us here for if you didn't want me to have the American dream and the American life? So it was that interesting juxtaposition. And then you have the fact that he is, when he's not with his family, living his life as a comedian and American and meeting women and hooking up. And then he meets Emily.
Yeah.
Which is the cutest little way that they meet. Like, they're both totally at first, like, neither one of us wants a relationship. This is not serious. We shouldn't see each other again. But then they keep seeing each other. And, like, they keep making plans.
And every single time they're like, okay, so this is the last time, right?
Right.
And I think, to me, one of the best scenes, spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen their first night together, so it's kind of like I gotta get back to my place. Emily starts getting herself dressed and he's like, do you want me to call you an Uber or something? And she's like, no, I got it, I'm already on the app, I'm gonna call one. And sure enough, as soon as she hits the app, his phone goes off because he is an Uber driver.
Right.
And he's like, so can I give you a lift?
He is the closest one in
and
the
he
area.
Is the closest one in the area,
and
literally.
Were you online the whole time we were together?
It's like, I only checked the phone twice.
Yeah. That I liked. That whole line there. The whole thing was adorable. One of the nights he walks her home and she is going into her building and she's like, yeah, so this can't keep happening. So definitely don't call me. He's like, okay, I won't call you. And then as soon as she gets through the door, he picks up his phone and he calls her. And she's, like, turning around and looking at him like,
It is kind of cold out here.
Yeah. It's kind of warm in here. Okay, maybe you should come inside. Like,
yeah.
They're like, we don't want to, but we want to. Back and forth was adorable.
Like, this is not what I planned. This shouldn't be happening, but okay, fine, let's go.
Yeah. So, but the whole time, like, You know, she's trying to, when they finally give up on the whole, we're not dating, neither one of us wants to date thing, and starts to actually spend more time with each other. She's telling him, oh, my parents want to meet you. Like, she's trying to set things up. And then, like, he's pulling back and being like, no, I can't make it. I've got something. And, oh, what does your mom think? Don't they want to meet me? And, like, he hasn't told her yet, like, that he hasn't told his parents about her and that he isn't expected to be dating an American woman and that he's supposed to be getting an arranged marriage. Like, he doesn't tell her any of this. He doesn't tell his parents about her and all this stuff. So, of course, as keeping secrets from each other or not telling whole truths happens, it all comes to a head as she eventually figures it out as she finds the cigar box in his room that he keeps all the headshots of all of the women he's rejecting.
Yeah. It was like, literally, you know, some guys have baseball cards, basketball cards, you know, that they keep in a box. Oh, look at these and stuff. He just takes all these headshots and resumes, just keeps them randomly in a cigar box. I have a feeling he kept them just in case his mom asked about,
right.
Well, what'd you think of this one? Hold on, let me check my Rolodex here. Yeah, she was great, and apparently she's a magician, too.
Yeah. My favorite part was when they're fighting about it, and she goes, you know what I have in my cigar box? Stickers! so she...
And she wasn't lying!
Yeah. So she freaks out about this and realizes that, like, or what she feels like is, like, he is ashamed to tell his family about her. Like, this isn't going to work if they can't be open and he's not willing to, like, step away from that expectation or whatever. And so they break it off. And then she ends up sick and in the ER and in the hospital. And her friends, who he has met, her friends, one of them calls them because they're all grad students and they're all really busy and in the middle of finals and stuff. The friend calls him and says, hey, she's in the hospital. They think she's got some really bad flu. Like, someone needs to be with her. Like,
can you get there?
Can you go? Like, none of us can make it. We can't leave right now. So awkwardly broken up, like, had a fight, and now he's running to the hospital, to the ER, to make sure she's okay and be with her. And, like, she's kind of with it when he gets there, not completely. And, like, she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, your friend called me. And then, you know, before they know it, the doctor's rushing. They're telling her they're going to admit her. And the doctor's pulling him aside and telling him that this is what's happening and that they need to put her in a coma in order to intubate her because there's fluid on her lungs or something. Like, all this shit, like... How do you go from being broken up and fighting to having to make major medical life choices?
Yeah, I mean,
for this person.
But I did kind of appreciate that the doctor realized the situation with her, that he needs to take care of her. We've got this person who does care for her because he's there. And, like, he let her know the situation. And, like, so are you her husband? He's like, no, we're just friends, blah, 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 and stuff. Like, well, we have to do this, and we need someone's consent. So, are you her husband?
As he's shoving the paper towards him to sign it. I'll ask you again. Are you her husband?
In other words, help me out so I can help her.
Right, because they couldn't do the procedure or intubate her without someone consenting, family signing off on it. Yeah, so, and then, you know, he's got to be the one to call her mom.
God. Worst phone call ever.
Oh, my God. So, like, calling the mom in the middle of the night that you've never met before and starting it with, hey, Emily's fine. Everything's great. She's fine. She's in the hospital in a coma. Like,
yes.
What?
Everything's fine. Yeah, they just had to intubate her and put her in a coma.
But she's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's good. Dude.
That's not... No.
Yeah, let's tell that to somebody's mother at 2 a.m. that you just woke up.
Yeah.
Who's how many miles away? I forgot where they were. Were they in Tennessee?
North Carolina?
North Carolina, thank you. Yeah. I knew it was a southern state.
Yeah. And then the parents show up, of course, and then they have to deal with that and the whole recovery of her and everything. But altogether, like, this is, I don't want to talk too much more about it because I really want you to watch this because this is an amazing story. It's a different take on a love story, how they push through it, how they finally do end up together. It's unique and different and like made so much better by the fact that, you know, it's like their real story and they wrote it together and this is how they ended up together and get their happily ever after. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. First of all, like watching this, you know, like I've said this many times, I appreciate movies that have a realness to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the cookie cutter romantic comedy where, oh, they're together, they're happy, something goes wrong, they split up, oh, they're all forlorn, and then something miraculously brings them back together. They come around a corner and see each other. It's meant to be. No, we got real shit here, people.
Yeah.
Like, people who aren't, like, situations, real life situations that could possibly happen. 1 minute everything's fine, the next minute it's not. And then you try to make things better and life gets in the way. I really appreciated the writing, like, especially now that I know it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really well done. And also because the comedy in it was perfect in it. It's really funny when it needs to. The kind of darker comedy where somebody just throws out a joke. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Mm-hmm. But... And, oh, perfect example. Oh, I can't. No, I'm not ruining that joke. That's no, good. That joke no. is too good.
There's a really great, really inappropriate joke in the hospital when he's eating lunch with her parents. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
That's like,
that is the golden scene of that.
We almost forgot another star in this. David Alan Greer.
Oh, yeah. He plays the guy who runs the nightclub
the
that
club
they all.
The promotion manager. Yeah.
Yeah, that they all work for, who sets up all their comedy gigs. Yeah, totally forgot.
So lots of big names in it that it wasn't the focus on them. It's like they were just all there supporting him.
Yeah. Or supporting each other, really.
Yeah.
You know? But, I thought this movie was really well done. It definitely didn't. It makes perfect sense why it got nominated for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this is the movie that put him on the map. Well, because after this, Kumail, I saw him, he's got to be in like 5 or 6 movies, including one, The Eternals, for Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
He's done several comedies. He's always on SNL. And I don't know, it was just really well done. It's simple. It's no real flashy stuff. It's just good human humor.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's rare that I agree with Oscar nominations for some movies. Like, there's lots of movies out there that I feel should be Oscar worthy for different reasons that never get the nod. And then lots of ones out there that are those pretentious hoity-toity ones where you're like, they seem to have only been made to try and get an Oscar. And
precisely.
It's like, really, this movie is boring. but I wholeheartedly agree that this one, you know, should have been an Oscar nominee. The writing was amazing and the story was great. And I'm going to give this one of my rare 5 clamshells.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. There's usually more of the times when I see Oscar nominations, I agree more with Golden Globe nominations because they separate the two categories. They go for, these are the nominees for drama stuff. These are the ones for comedy / musical if there's one out there. So they give everybody an equal chance. And so then you see more movies like this get nominated, but I agree with the Oscar committee. This was worthy. I don't remember. I have to do a little more research. If I don't think it actually won, but at least it got some recognition that it deserved.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But, yeah. 5 clamshells. Easy.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen this yet, go and see it. And Serena, keep the recommendations coming because you're 2 for 2 at this point. And we thank you and appreciate you making great suggestions. And I will tell you the ending of this one was much better for me than the ending of Drinking Buddies, which I still love Drinking Buddies, but I did not care for the ending.
Oh, you and your closure. Oh, God.
But this one was much better. But anyways, keep up the good work, girl. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We really do.
If you haven't seen us yet, we are all over social media. We don't mind hearing from people. Give us a like, follow, comment, whatever. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We are on Twitter. We are on YouTube, on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Video Store Memoirs. On Twitter, we are at Video Store Mem. And on YouTube and TikTok, we are just Video Store Memoirs. So give us a search, pull it up, do that social media thing for us, and we'll see you around.
Yep. Thank you all for checking in. We've seen all the messages on Facebook and on TikTok. We are keeping track of everything, and we will get back to everybody with an answer on all your favorite questions on certain movies, whether you agree with us or not. We love it. Thank you for at least taking the time to reach out to us.
All right. Until next time, I've been Jana.
I've been Kevin.
Bye.
Enjoy the movie.